Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, got you in studio once again to talk about planning with purpose.
And
we need purpose, and particularly our single friends need purpose when it comes to an estate plan, and that's
what
you're launching into this week. And how planning affects people who are single or find themselves single. Maybe if a spouse passes away, then they're effectively single, and some real considerations in this area.
Yeah, and specifically, someone, if we could be a little more specific even, is someone who doesn't have children. And there are some, I don't want to say tricks or traps, but it can be much more difficult to make some decisions in some of the areas we're going to talk about with this series. It'll just be a brief series, but wanted to take a moment to really look at what are some of the things that someone who is single and specifically no children. So there's definitely some crossover if you're married and have no children.
That's me.
Okay.
Yeah, and so we're concerned about this.
Yeah, so there's some crossover because if you passed away, then your wife ends up being in that single position with no children below her. So there are some challenges or some things that you really have to think through as a single individual, that when you have kids and can rely upon children, that are not present in that scenario. Mm-hmm. So therefore, wanted to take a deeper look, a deeper dive into what are some of the things that need to be thought about, considered, specifically if you're single, specifically if you have no children. So wanted to take a deeper look into this topic specifically.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind for me, for my wife and I, then is since we don't have kids, who is the executor? Who's the person who manages finances? Both maybe if you have a problem with a health issue for the last few years of your life, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. And it's probably one of the bigger concerns is, do you have friends that you can rely upon? Mm. Even if they're very trusted, it's a little more difficult maybe to go to a friend and say, gosh, you're kind of the person if we needed backup. Now, here's the other concern is that most of our friends are our age, and so therefore
they might be in the same boat.
Yeah, they're getting older as we're getting older. So if you're already creeping up into your 70s and you start having some health issues, if you're even older than that, then you look around your friend group and boy, they're dropping like flies too. So it's difficult then to lean into friendships and, you know, maybe we have friends that we could fully entrust with our finances, but they have to meet multiple different characteristics. So number one, it's a trust value of who you're going to select is, are they going to be able to manage the finances, manage your financial decisions if you have a health incident during your lifetime or if you pass away to close the estate? And that's really not the easiest job known to mankind, which is to actually step in the gap and come alongside somebody, learn their finances, learn their bills, what's on auto pay, what's not on auto pay. Are invoices and bills legitimate, or have you been scammed, or the list goes on. So managing things is not a super easy task just out of the gate, let alone to look at a friend group and say, gosh, I'd really like you to step in and help me out and fill this gap because I do trust you. So when we look at selecting somebody who is going to be an executor or a financial power of attorney, if you are having health issues, then not only do they have to be trustworthy, so you have a confidence that they're not going to steal from you, you have a confidence that they're competent in the area of finances. Not everyone is competent. It doesn't mean that they're a bad person. It just means they don't have the skill set of managing money. And what if your friend group doesn't have as much money as you? So what if they're in a different financial class? So they manage thousands of dollars, but yet you're managing tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, boy, there might be a disparity in the ability to manage that or the skill set to manage that. So it can become a little bit precarious in finding an individual that fits the qualifications that you're really looking for. So are they trustworthy? Do they have the skill set? Unfortunately, that may disqualify several people that you go, they fit the trustworthiness, but they don't fit the skill set. Then the next thing that we need to consider when we look at someone who is going to be an executor or financial power of attorney is, what's their lifestyle? And so, again, are they aging as you're aging? So are you similar in age? Are they having health issues? Will they have health issues? Will they be going through the same thing as you are as individuals age? If it's someone who is younger, so oftentimes single individuals will look towards nieces or nephews. So if they have a sibling, siblings can oftentimes be the same age. So unless you're the oldest and you're picking somebody who's an 8 to 10 year gap in your age group, if that doesn't work, if you don't have a sibling you can trust or a sibling who's in great health or fits the other characteristics, then you may start looking at other family members, so nieces, nephews. But then we're talking about an age concern. So are they in the age group where they can fit the competency ability? Do they know how to manage it? But now we have a whole nother ball game, which is if they're in their 30s and 40s, they're busy raising a family. They're busy working. They're busy having jobs. And so I often have families, even when they do have children, name their 30-year-olds as the individual who is going to take over. And it's one of the pushbacks I have on a family who's going to make that election. There's nothing wrong with the election. My job is to push back and make sure that somebody is making the right election. So if you get pushback from me and it's still the right person, then we probably have the right person. But one of the bigger pushbacks I'll have with somebody in that 30-year-old range or their young 40s is, what happens if they actually have to pick up the ball at this point in life? They're raising kids. They're going to be taking kids to soccer because they don't have driver's licenses yet. They got to plug in to where they're at. Do they have full-time jobs on top of raising a family? Are they the breadwinner for the family unit? And so what would it look like in the stress that's added? So not only do we add a stress of emotional concern, because when someone's going through a health issue, there's always an emotional connection to that person, or oftentimes there's an emotional connection to that person. So then are they really going to be able to manage the emotional difficulty that's swarming around? I've got a parent, I've got an aunt, I've got an uncle that I might be close with, and that's difficult emotionally for me, mentally for me, but now I've got families, I've got jobs, I've got everything else. Now, fortunately, with most state laws, I can't speak to every one of them, but I can speak for Washington that I am very familiar with. We've got family leave laws. So that's great. But family leave doesn't pay you the same thing. And as a matter of fact, you have to run through your vacation time to get paid. Sometimes employers will allow you to use your sick pay, but you just might have to take time off. So can they afford it? Can you afford it? Can you actually pay them and fill in the financial gap if they need to take additional time off? What if your sickness or illness lasts beyond that? So there's a lot of considerations, and of course, I haven't given a single answer to any of them yet, have I? There's a lot of things that we need to work through when we look and consider who is going to help me manage my money if I have a health incident, or as an executor, if I pass away and close the estate.
Yeah, it sounds like you're mainly concerned, first of all, with the health issue before you even talk. Because, I mean, a lot of times with the passing away issue, the person is a beneficiary.
So yes, there's that's correct.
Perhaps, you know, they stand to inherit a large sum of money if they do this job. So maybe they're more willing to help out. But if it's not sure that they're going to inherit a lot of money, then I would think that becomes somewhat of an issue.
Well, most times, actually, in all times, documents that I look at will have a compensation clause. So whether you use a revocable living trust, whether you use a will backed up by a financial and healthcare power of attorney, of course, a revocable living trust is backed up by those two. But there are compensation options built within those mechanisms, specifically the finances. So with a revocable living trust, with a financial power of attorney, we're able to pay someone for their time and effort. So they're not going to just be out there willy-nilly, not being able to actually be paid for their time, or that they just have to do something out of the kindness of their heart.
Yeah, yeah,
but
that's quite a presumption.
Yeah, it's a difficult position because specifically, whether it is during lifetime or whether it's you've passed away, we got to gather all the bills, and we got to know how they were paid. We have to, if you've died, we have to turn them off. If you're alive, we have to then take over paying the bills. Have to get the mail. Have to make sure that we know where the accounts are, that the institution accepts the financial power of attorney, or that you're the proper successor trustee. Mm. And if you have outdated older documents, I'm telling you, that becomes a hard journey. If there is a good reason to get into an estate planner's office, whether it's me or someone else, just get to do your estate plan. It's for right now. It's for this conversation. If something happens to you and we don't have the right people named, we are in a pickle. You're in a pickle. So, and not only that, but if you have outdated documents, what's outdated? I would say 5 years or more. So when I first started my practice in the Linwood area, I went to probably 25 different banks and I asked them, what do you want to see in a financial power of attorney? And how old do you want a financial power of attorney to be? And almost every single bank that I visited came back and said, we do not want a financial power of attorney that is older than 3 years.
Mm.
Now, that really shocks people because they go, oh, well, I did my estate plan. It's all taken care of.
10, 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And so, well, why do I need to update something? Well, because if someone needs to use that document, again, they're already put in a position to where it might be an intimate relationship, so they're already at an emotional state. They're already on high alert. And now you're asking them to take up a position that is difficult to manage, and you're putting them behind the eight ball with outdated, typically templated documents that are not going to meet the challenge at that moment. Is that really what you want to add on top of all the responsibility of having somebody help you with your finances? I am a huge advocate to say there is no way. People come to my office and say, wait, I just don't want to leave a mess behind. Well, then have outdated documents and you're going to leave a mess. So you did a good thing. You took the right step, but now they're not updated. You haven't followed through the consistency. Mm. How often do you change your car oil? Well, why? Because you don't want it to break down. You're being responsible. This is another area. You can't just put it on. I don't have a sticker to put on your dashboard that constantly reminds you. All right. When you get your oil change, they give you a little sticker and you just keep staring at it. Mm. That's strategic, which is don't forget to do this. Well, if you're not in a maintenance program like at my firm and you've just done your documents with an attorney who's never reached out to you again, well, here is your reach out. You tuned in today. Get things updated. It is critical, not just for you, but for the person that you've named to step in and help you at a critical time. Let's not have the documents get in the way. That would even be worse than needing to step in and assist.
Crucial program today for you if you're single or maybe you don't have kids, designing a plan for singles. The topic, you like the way Paul thinks about these subjects and you'd like to know more about his services. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's upcoming opportunities for educational programs, past podcasts. They're all up there on legacyandfaith.com, and ways to communicate with us as well. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, discussing the issue of designing a plan for a single person, or maybe a person doesn't have kids, which is the boat that my wife and I are in. So
yeah.
I'm listening intently today.
Right.
Don't have that
You always have notes in front of you, yeah. But you might, maybe there's more today.
Don't have that deep relationship bench. Now, we do have a nephew, so
yeah.
We have somewhat of a relationship bench. I think he knows he's probably on the hook for this. We need to have that discussion for him.
Yeah.
But how do we get around this? What other options are there?
Yeah, and I think you made an important statement right there, which is I think he knows, so maybe having that conversation yeah. is a good idea. Maybe getting their buy-in that says, yes, I understand the responsibility, I understand the duties, I understand that if something happens to you that I'm going to have to, it's going to take me extra time, but I can manage it. One of the nice things in where we are right now in society is that there's a lot of opportunity to connect through electronic means. So if somebody gets to the bank, they can set up an online profile so we can get control of paying your bills, and it can be rather easy. We can get things done on a regular basis. A lot of utilities, I would really suggest you go to the utility and have them do the automatic payment, because that doesn't interrupt credit cards and other things. So I would be an advocate of going to the utility versus going to your credit card and having the automatic payment. So there's one or two ways to do it. So having electronic access to things, which, by the way, I understand scares some people as well. So a lot of people don't trust online access because they hear all the stories in the news of this. The government's been broken into. Now this bank's been broken in. Now this financial institution and people in Russia are always stealing our information. Okay, right. I get it. And I understand that there's an insecurity that can happen. There are some things that you can do to really protect yourself. But the nice thing about it is that it really does help someone if they need to step in and take over as a manager of your finances, because they can be at a distance. They don't have to be standing right next to you. We can reroute mail over to their address, and they can really be in control of assisting the financial part. So, yeah, what happens if your siblings are your age, or you don't have the right people, if you don't have that niece or nephew that's the right age, or the trust factor, or the skill set factor, right? Mm. So there's all these different steps that you got to take. And at some point, people just go, well, I guess that's good enough. Well, there are other opportunities. You can hire a professional company. Some law firms actually assist by stepping in and being a successor trustee, being an agent. There are private companies. Had a conversation with a very decent one. It's actually ran by an attorney and by a CPA. That's a really strong combination, in my opinion, that they got the legal side of things. They've got the accounting side of things. They've built a really nice practice, and they step in and they assist with giving professional fiduciary services. So now the negative of that is that you're going to have to pay more, and I get it. But you know, at the end of the day, if you don't have a deep bench in your relationships, in your family structure, then it probably is going to need to be something like a professional fiduciary to step in. And so then the question is, which one is going to blend well with you? Which one is going to sit well with you? What's their pricing structure? How long have they been around? Do they have someone such as a licensed attorney, such as a CPA, that will that manages the company and has that backing, the ability to manage everything for you? Investment relationships are very important. So there are other opportunities. The question or the issue is, more times than not, is that there's a financial cost to make that decision that sometimes people shy away from. But
I would think of a cost that's ongoing until you even need it too, sort of like a retainer. You've got somebody you've got to pay.
Not typically.
Oh, really? You don't have to pay them a monthly fee until you actually use them? So you can be paying them for 10 years?
No,
to be
it's when the service turns on. It's that you can name them and they can be named as the fiduciary. Would it be wise to check in with them every couple of years to see if anything has changed in their structure as a business or anything that they're supporting that you may not appreciate, things like this?
Okay.
Sure. But no, just to have them named until that financial power of attorney is actually triggered and it's turned on and they actually have to act in your interest, then that's when the charges are typically going to start.
Okay.
So it's usually not an ongoing issue.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, so what kinds of powers then will that financial power hold, even like if they're like you say, a hired gun?
Yeah. And this is really where getting a good attorney who's going to ask some deeper questions will be really strategic. So number one, do you use a financial advisor? So do you have somebody in your professional group that you trust? Do they know your financial goals? Have they been guiding you for a period of time? We would want to make sure that the structure is set up that any agent, financial power of attorney agent, any professional fiduciary, whichever direction you end up going, that they are then going to be working with that professional on an ongoing basis, because you don't want to lose somebody that you've trusted for many years. They've helped you build a strategy. Well, just because you've had a health incident, they might have insight that says, oh, we've built the strategy for this. We've anticipated this issue. And this is now the response financially that we need to trigger because we've talked about this issue. Mm. Well, if we don't know that that exists in the background, how do we ever get the documents to say, hey, by the way, a person who's going to assist in this time, stay connected to that person. Stay connected and listen and use their wisdom. Now, that financial advisor doesn't have any voting power or say in the documents. As a matter of fact, they typically have a fiduciary duty to manage your money, so they can't take on additional fiduciary duties. So you actually, I get that quite a bit, which is, well, we have a financial advisor that we really trust. And it's like, I'm sorry, they can't be a financial power of attorney if they are your financial advisor.
Really? Because I would think that could be the person who, again, knows you so well, knows the financial area. But what, is there some law that prevents that?
They have their own duties in the background, and their companies typically will restrict that. And
conflict plus, of interest or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they're not going to be able to take on that role, in my experience. And so therefore, we want them to be a part of the process and a part of the voice and the strategy of what you've already carried out. So having really good documents, making sure that they're linked up, is critical and important. Mm. So that's one thing that should be in your documents. And then other things are in financial powers of attorney, such as who is able to change your plan. As a single individual, it is extremely rare that I meet someone who says, I trust this person so much that I would allow them to change my beneficiaries, the portion that's going to my beneficiaries, and make dispositive elections for me. that also links in then with the power to change your beneficiaries to life insurance policies and to IRAs. Mm. So if you don't have a really well-designed document that limits these things, Washington law actually could open up Pandora's box and give them an unintended power that you don't want them to have. Mm. So when you have power being given to somebody, we need to make sure that the right powers are given and not all powers. So there may be limitations for individuals who are single that we actually would give to a spouse or somebody else. What if you're a business owner? Who's going to manage the business? Who has the power over the business? Is that a different person with a different skill set than the person that you trust with your finances? That would be a big deal. How about gifting powers? What if you're a tither? What if you consistently give to church or to missionaries or to the Salvation Army or to other individual, other organizations? Is that something that you want to continue? I rarely see gifting powers added into that. And then what if you have an exercise of a power of appointment? That's a power for you to direct finances because you've inherited something. Is that something that you want to have? Again, there's aspects of Washington law that may unintentionally give these powers if the document is not done well and if it's not done right. So it's about finding the right person, but they have to have the right legal boundaries to operate in a way that you see and envision for them to act with your money. They must cooperate. The right person with the right legal document is critically important.
Okay, it's all good stuff, regardless of whether you're single or not, I think. These are all our principles that apply, but designing a plan for singles this week. We'll continue this discussion next time. People want to find out more about your services, Paul. How do they do that?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. All of our previous podcasts are there, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, always great stuff. Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.